this morning as we come back to our study on the theme of worship, Thou Art Worthy. I've asked you to open your Bible to Ecclesiastes 5, which may seem to be a rather strange place to learn anything about the theme of worship. Yet I believe as we come to this passage this morning, we're going to find some things that are very helpful and practical for us in relation to our worship of the Lord. This morning we want to begin a consideration of what we will term the elements of worship. The elements of worship. We've already taken the time to discuss and to consider what we called the essence of worship. And through that part of our study, we understand and we have learned that true worship must focus on the right person, that being none other than Jesus Christ. Second, we discover that true worship must accomplish the right purpose. And the purpose of our worship is that we would bring glory and honor to the Lord, to His name, giving Him the glory due unto His name. And then finally, we consider that it must conform to the right pattern. God has told us how we ought to worship. And we ought to worship according to the pattern that He has already established and ordained. The question for us now is, what must be included in our worship? What are the elements in our worship for the Lord? Do we truly worship God as He ordained, or have we supplemented the true practices of worship with our own man-made traditions? That was a problem in the Old Testament era. I think it continues to be a problem within the Church of Jesus Christ today. In fact, Peter had to remind believers about the problem of the traditions of men. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he says to them, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions from your fathers." How were they redeemed? By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The problem, even in the early church, is men began to believe that the way they were redeemed, the way they were saved, was based not upon the work of Christ, not upon the work of God, but according to their traditions that they had established. Within the Church of Jesus Christ today, although we would never claim that there are traditions that must be followed in order for a person to be saved, I think we have supplemented our traditions for the truth of God's Word when it comes to things like worship. We have added our traditions and we have exalted them. But the question is, do those traditions, do our practices match up to what the Scripture says are the elements of our worship? So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to consider these elements of our worship. We want to continue to learn from the Word of God, and I trust that our heart will be open to the truth that God has given to us concerning these elements. This morning, as we begin that thought together about the elements of worship, what we'll discuss and discover today is there's a need for a heart prepared to worship. And it really is an important concept for us to lay hold of before we move on to all the other elements in worship. Bow with me, though, now in a word of prayer, and then we'll take up our topic and our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we now have to come study together your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word reveals to us all that we need for life and godliness. And Lord, that includes what we need to worship you as thou art worthy to receive from us. Father, we have learned so far that worship is to be focused on you. It's to accomplish the right goal, which is to bring glory to you, and it's to follow the right pattern. Now, Father, as we seek to do those things and worship you as you are worthy to receive, help us, Lord, to do it according to the way that you have told us to. And Father, where we find ourselves to be lacking, may we change in our heart and in our life, for our heart must be prepared to worship you. And Father, I pray today that you teach us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked you to open your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. We know that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. And you might wonder, why would Ecclesiastes have for us anything about worship? Well, number one, Solomon was the one who built the temple of God. And Solomon would have a unique perspective concerning worship. God had placed within the heart of Solomon great wisdom. Even though he failed to live or appropriate that wisdom as he should. And Solomon's heart was turned away from God. But what I think you find when you come to the book of Ecclesiastes is Solomon is again coming back to his spiritual senses. He came back to the right conclusion of life. And in fact, if you would hold your place there, just flip over a few pages to chapter 12, you can look at verse 13 and 14. And it really is the key to understanding the book of Ecclesiastes. For Solomon tells us why he has written these things. He says, I have come to the conclusion of life. And so he says, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment in every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon had come to the right conclusion, and that is this, that we are to fear the Lord. God deserves to be honored. God deserves to be exalted. He deserves our reverence, our awe, our respect. And Solomon writes and says there's a need for us to fear the Lord and to do according to all that His Word commands us. I want you to look now with me at the first three verses of chapter 5. We're going to find some counsel from a wise king concerning worship. He says this, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Solomon's going to give us counsel, and he'll give us a unique perspective concerning worship. If you understand the times of Solomon's life, you understand that Solomon is the one who built the temple, and he also built a palace. His palace and the temple were in rather close proximity. In fact, Solomon would have the perspective to be able to look out and see others as they made their way to the top of the mount of the temple, that they would go to worship God. And Solomon each and every day would leave his palace, and he would be able to walk up to the temple of God that they might worship the Lord his God. And he had a perspective to see many that would come and gather to the temple that they might there worship. From this portion of scripture we learn that the first element of worship is not in essence even an element. It's a prerequisite to our worship. And that is a heart that is prepared to worship the Lord. Before you and I can ever come and offer to God the worship that is due His name, there must be within your heart and my heart a preparation for that worship. I want you to notice a few things that we find. We already know that the purpose of our worship is to bring glory to God, and it is to focus on Him and Him alone. We do not gather for worship that we might receive, but that we might give unto the Lord the glory that is due His name. Each week that we come together, we come with a purpose, and the purpose is to worship the Lord. This service especially is designed for worship. It is designed for us as a corporate body to be able to offer to God glory that He is deserving of. That is the one single thought we have as we gather Sunday morning. Now that's not the thought that we necessarily have on Wednesday night. We gather that we might pray, that we might beseech the Lord. We gather that we might offer to Him our praise. We gather that we might study the Word of God even more. But the main thrust of our morning messages and our morning worship is that worship. Ascribing to God His worth and proclaiming together as a single body, He is worthy of worship. We allow Sunday nights to be a little less formal. We consider that more of a family time. And we study together the Word of God. We offer to God our praise. And yes, we worship Him. But the thrust of what we do on Sunday mornings is for the glory of God. It's that we might worship Him. What is required of us then as we approach the Lord in this way is that a heart must be prepared to enter into that service of worship. Solomon here in Ecclesiastes 5 offers to those who are going to the temple to worship some warnings, some admonitions to help them as they approach their worship of God. These warnings are offered because it is possible. Folks, I want you to grasp this thought this morning. It is possible to leave the sacred precincts worse than when you came in. It is possible for you to leave the Church of Christ Sunday afternoon worse than when you came in if you don't come with a heart prepared to worship the Lord as we ought. We're going to see why in a few moments. But Solomon offers to these admonitions. Warren Wiersbe makes a very interesting comment concerning worship. He says, "The worship of God is the highest ministry of the church and must come from devoted hearts and yielded wills." We must consider the importance of preparation as it relates to our worship. We are to guard ourselves from entering into worship in a way that is flippant or in a way that is casual. Notice what he says in verse 1. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God." That seems a little strange in our wording. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God. What in the world is Solomon trying to say? What he's saying, folks, is it matters how we approach unto God. And that term there, "keep thy foot," could be better in our minds, in our vernacular, be said this way: watch your step. He's not talking about tripping because the steps might not be at the proper distance, folks. He's talking about spiritually making sure we are prepared to enter into the presence of Almighty God and offer to Him our worship. It matters how you come to God's house. It matters how you enter into the service of worship. The heart matters. Folks, there is not one of us here today, if summoned to either the White House or Buckingham Palace, would not dare to make our journey without first making adequate preparation. You would go through all the details, you would have your checklist, you would have everything marked off, and nothing would be missed because you were summoned to stand in front of the king or the president. You say, okay, maybe that's true. Let's be real honest this morning. Because the reality is, you're probably not getting called to Buckingham Palace, and I'm not getting called to the White House. This one's going to sting a little bit. Folks, you and I wouldn't make a trip to the Magic Kingdom without adequate preparation. You won't take a vacation without checking off and dotting every I and crossing every T and making sure it's perfect. I want to ask you a question. Why, when we enter into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, does He deserve anything less? That's the point today. A heart must be prepared to worship our God. We are entering into the throne room of God, into the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He deserves nothing less. Yet, folks, for way too long, in the heart of Christians all around the world, we enter into worship very flippantly and very casually, with a heart not in any way prepared to enter to His presence. Solomon says, I want to give you some warnings, some admonitions, that you might be prepared to go to the house of the Lord. I want you to see three admonitions with me this morning. Number one, Solomon says, be ready to go. Be ready to go. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of the Lord, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. We've already defined that thought there, to keep thy foot. Solomon is talking about those who have made the decision that they are going to travel up to the temple that they might worship the Lord. And his admonition is, be ready when you come to the house of the Lord. There is to be adequate preparation before we ever come to God's house. Our heart ought to be ready, because we are entering into a sacred event, that we would be able to come and enter into the very presence of Almighty God. And we ought not do that lightly, but we ought to do it reverently. In one of the commentaries that I read, I found this quote this week. I think it's a good observation. He says, how many of us take time to prepare for worship? Sunday morning can be the most hectic and fraught time of the week. Family needs to get ready for church. Preparations must be made for visitors. Elderly people need their lift to the Sunday morning service. For the preacher and leaders, there are numerous things that attend to before worship begins. It's almost a sigh of relief that all the people take their place and begin the worship service. Ever feel that way on a Sunday morning? I have. It's a busy day. It's a hectic day. Sometimes folks don't make it easy on Sunday mornings. But our heart needs to be prepared. Gary Reimers in his book goes a little further. He makes another comment, adds to it. He says this to us. The hectic pace of activity typical in many households as they attempt to depart from their home on time is more conducive to anger and frustration. Now, I'm sure none of you ever reached that point in your car. Again, Solomon had a unique perspective. Sometimes I have a unique perspective. Sometimes I'll be in my office and I'll hear someone pull out, and I'll just look out the window and I'll see them pull in. And you see the way they get out of the car, just what happened on the way to church. Doors open, husband goes this way, wife goes this way, kids come out like this. And you know what happened the whole way to church. Yeah, they're going to be in the mood to worship. Woohoo! Hey, how are you doing? Fine. Okay. Have a good service. God bless your heart. I think sometimes they should just turn around and drive back out. I remember years ago, I think I can share this with you, and if I can't, he'll get over it. Pastor Griffith, that I worked with in his first church, he would tell the story that he and his wife always seemed to struggle the most on Sundays and Wednesdays. He said one Sunday they came to church, and that was it, the whole way to church. He said, I'm standing up there getting ready for Sunday school, and I just couldn't take it. So my wife was sitting in the back, and so I walked to the back, and I kneeled down in front of her. And he says, and when I did that, I heard a terror. He goes, I realized that my pants just let go. He said, I had to run home and change to get back just in time. He says, you know what? That broke the ice for us. We never fought after that, because every time we fought, we would laugh about that event. Sometimes, folks, the devil does all that he can to get you out of a heart prepared to worship, but you and I better fight for that. Because we are entering into a very sacred event in which we enter into the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we better be prepared when we come to worship him. Solomon says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Watch your step. What are we watching out for? Why must we watch our step? We must watch our step that our worship be not careless nor meaningless. Solomon says in verse 1 that it is possible that our sacrifice be merely the sacrifice of a fool, or even worse, our sacrifice, our worship, is simply evil. Look at verse 1 again. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. I want you to consider those two thoughts with me. The thought of foolish worship, and I want you to consider with me the thought of evil worship. How can our worship of God be considered the sacrifice of a fool? Solomon says it is possible to go to the temple, it is possible to enter into the house of God, and when you offer your sacrifice, it not be acceptable in the eyes of God, it not be considered worthy worship, but simply a sacrifice of a fool. That seems harsh. But folks, it's possible. You can leave the church of God worse than when you entered in, offering the sacrifice of a fool. A fool in the Bible is one who has little to no regard to the principles of God's word. They give little thought to the truth of Scripture. And if you and I do not adequately prepare our heart for worship, we can simply find ourselves going through the motions, the exercise of worship, with no thought about God or what we are doing. True or false? You can sing a hymn and never think a word of what you just sang. True or false, you can quote a verse of Scripture and have no idea what you just said. It's true. True or false, you can sit through an hour-long service and the whole time that you're there never once think about Almighty God. And the answer to that is true. And all too often, it's reality. You and I enter into a place that we might worship the Lord. But if we come with our heart not prepared and our mind on everything else but God, God says it is the sacrifice of a fool. Now, he said that, not me. But that's a harsh statement. The sacrifice of a fool. One who would worship with no thought at all in worship. But he also says it can be evil. As horrible it sounds that it might be foolish, Solomon goes beyond that and says it can even be seen as evil in the eyes of God. You and I, if not prepared, can come to the house of the Lord. We can enter into his presence and we can approach unto him. And yet we refuse to do as he says. We refuse to obey his word. And folks, when you and I can come into the house of God and we can sit through services, we can quote unquote offer our worship and never leave changed, God says in essence what you do is evil in my sight. Because when you refuse to obey the word of God as it is presented to you, you are nothing more than a rebellious son or child of God. A refusal to obey God and his word is nothing more than rebellion. Think about it for a moment. Why was Cain's offering rejected of God? Because he refused to obey the word of God. He came of his own accord, his own way. God will accept whatever I offer unto him. He was a sinner. He was rebellious against Almighty God. It was evil in the sight of God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 12 for a moment. Matthew chapter 12. The Lord Jesus addresses this to the religious leaders of his day. Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus brings a rebuke in verse 34 down through verse 37. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned." Lord Jesus Christ offers their rebuke because they sought to put on a pretense in worship. They said all of the right things, yet from an evil heart, a heart unprepared. He said, "How can you, being evil, speak good things?" The reality is, folks, what's in the heart comes out the mouth. But we are very good at protecting what comes out of our mouth and guarding what people see within our heart. And we can put on the pretense of worship. That God calls evil. You and I must come and be prepared to worship as we enter into the house of the Lord. Prepare before we ever come. But we also must be ready not only to go, but we must be ready to glean. Be ready to glean. We ought to be prepared to glean from God's word. Look at what Solomon says. Verse 1 again. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God," notice now, "and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools." You and I are to be more ready to hear. As you and I come to the house of God, there ought to be prepared within our heart a desire to hear more than to simply go through the motions of worship. We ought to come desiring that we might glean from God's word. The idea of that phrase is to be ready to hear God's word and to obey His truth. Be ready more to hear than go through the motion of worship. Hear from God, listen to His word, and then obey. As you and I come into the presence of the Lord, He desires to teach us in the ways of righteousness, and He expects us to obey. And that is not God asking more than He should. He has given us His word and He expects us to obey His truth. Why is that important? Well, we need to be ready to hear again the word of God, be ready to obey, because obedience is paramount to God. In fact, obedience is more important than sacrifice. Obedience is more important than any sacrifice that we offer. Say, "Pastor, how do you know that?" 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." That was spoken to King Saul. He was going to do a good thing. He was going to bring back things that he might worship to the Lord. But God said, "Destroy it all. But I'm going to offer this to God. I've decided that this is a better way as I approach before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And Samuel said, "You've misunderstood, Saul. God does not care about your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. And to obey is better than sacrifice." Folks, get a hold of this thought this morning. Sacrifice is no substitute for your obedience. Sacrifice is no substitute for your obedience. That word sacrifice we often put in an Old Testament context, and no, we don't do that anymore. We don't bring our lamb and we don't place our heads upon it. We don't slit its throat and we don't burn it up. We don't do all of that. But put it into our context, folks. God says, I really don't care as much about you coming and sitting in a pew and refusing to obey me and calling that your sacrifice. He says, that's a fool and it is evil. What I want is your heart. And what I want is obedience. Folks, when God's word speaks to you, we must be ready to glean from that word and obey it. Obedience is paramount in the eyes of God. It is better than any sacrifice that you make. You're not okay today because you drove into church and you sat in a pew, you sang a few hymns, you listened to the pastor, and you walk out the back door. You and I must be ready to hear from God's word and to obey His truth. That's our worship. A heart prepared to go, a heart prepared to glean, and third, a heart prepared to give. Look at verse 2 and 3. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou art on earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. The final admonition is that we be prepared to give, and that comes in two parts. And I want you to see the two parts of what we give unto the Lord in our worship. Verse 2 challenges us not to give hastily, not to give our worship rashly. And the idea that we want to point out here is this, that when we come and give our worship of the Lord, or worship to the Lord, we should do that with consideration. Again, verse 2, do not be rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before the Lord. Again, the idea is don't come simply and go through the motions and mindlessly offer to God your worship. We ought to offer to God thoughtful worship. Worship that comes through a heart prepared and that has considered our God. You and I must be careful to do our part to ensure that once the worship begins, you and I are actively engaged in worship. And that we do our worship by means of consideration. You say, Pastor, when does worship begin here at First Baptist Church on a Sunday morning? Well, folks, over the last year or so, we've been trying to very much create an atmosphere of worship that avoids distraction so that once the worship begins, we can stay in a spirit of worship. That's why announcements are done first. I know that's not the most exciting way to begin a service. That's why we put the announcements up on the screen so that you can see most of them beforehand. That's why we give a bulletin out. They're designed for that information to be given. But when we open a service in prayer, we are entering into the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everything else after that is designed for us to continue in worship until we close and leave. We're going to talk about all those elements later. But when that service starts, it ought to start for you and I with consideration, with thought. So let me encourage you to be ready for worship when worship begins. Fellowship is great, but fellowship does not supersede worship. There are things that are done that ought to be a sign for us that it's time to begin. One of the greatest signs for you is simply when you hear Weston come to the piano and begin to play. That means we've got about 2 or 3 minutes before the service begins. That's when we need to cut off conversations and come to our seat and be prepared. Because our heart needs to be prepared for worship. It's great to talk and it's great to fellowship. We have time before, we have time after. Come a little early, stay a little later, but be ready when worship begins. That's what Solomon's saying to us. A heart that gives consideration to worship. Again, worship is the highest ministry of the church. So let us worship God by means of consideration. But then secondly, let us worship God by means of concentration. That's the point of verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Now that seems like a strange statement. Here's what it means. The word dream that Solomon uses would be comparative in our day to a daydream. It means a mind lost in its train of thought, no longer focused on that which is important. Now, there may be times that you just need to kind of get away from reality and you let your mind go to the daydream. That is not Sunday morning when you enter into the house of God. That is not when all the other events of the week kind of come upon you and you start to think about this. Well, maybe if we did this on Tuesday, we can go out here, we can do this. And that's not what you need. That's a daydream. You're supposed to be in the reality of worship at that time, not living in a daydream. Why do we tend to daydream? Solomon gives us the answer. A dream cometh through the multitude of business. Through the multitude of busyness. It means our mind is so overtaken by the cares of this world that we become distracted by what's really important, that you and I are in the presence of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is not the time to make a grocery list. This is not the time to think about your correspondence. It is not the time to do your to-do list for what you have to do at work. It is not the time for you to send an email communication to somebody else. This is a time for you to be in the presence of God and with concentration worship Him. Not thoughtless. And the reason we'll give our worship thoughtlessly is because we think, well, God doesn't care as long as I'm there. Folks, He cares. He cares. And everything that's not done through consideration and concentration is the sacrifice of a fool, and it's evil to God. Solomon says, let it come through a dream or a daydream by the busyness of life. What's the result of such a daydream? There are many words, many prayer, many praise, but it's as a fool. That's what the end of verse 3 says. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Think about it this morning. How many words did you speak once worship began? There's a lot of words in our songs. There's a lot of words in the prayers that are offered and we quote-unquote pray along with. A fool's voice is known by the multitude of his words, but they're thoughtless. They're without any concentration or consideration. Dr. Reimers in his book again says it well, lack of preparation deprives God of the worship He deserves. Folks, you and I come to worship God. We come that we might focus on the right person, accomplish the right person, and follow and conform to the right pattern. But that won't happen without preparation of a heart to enter into worship of Almighty God. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of us not just simply coming and going through the motions and flippantly entering into the presence of God. Ah, we're just going to church again. Just another service. Same old, same old. Pastor's still in a series. We'll eventually move on. We'll sing some other hymns. Choir might do well today. Maybe not. I wonder if there's any special. If it's not, it's no big deal. And we just kind of flippantly enter. We don't care when we come. We don't care how we come. We just come. Because all that God cares is that we come. Solomon says, I disagree. And he has a unique perspective sitting at the palace watching many come to worship God at the temple. He says, keep your foot when you go to the house of God. Watch your step. Have a heart prepared to worship him, folks? Is he not worthy of our worship as creator and redeemer of all? He is. Then what is that worship that he is worthy of? Those are the elements that we're going to talk about. And the prerequisite to all of the elements that we add into worship begins with a heart prepared. And we could get into all the practical aspects of this. You can make those applications. You can consider what you do on a Sunday morning and how you get here and what you do and what time and all those other things. But listen, when worship begins, the heart needs to be prepared. And let's be careful not to come flippantly before the Lord. Please, let's not give God less consideration than we give Disney and the Magic Kingdom. Because we put an awful lot of effort into preparations for our life and our enjoyment. How can we give God anything less when we come to the most wonderful event and we have the privilege of doing that week after week and service after service? In fact, you get 4 opportunities a week to be in the house of God and to learn of him, to be taught of him, to grow in grace and be grounded in the truth, to be prepared to go out in love. But we need a heart prepared to enter to the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just pray together, please, as we close.